Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, all. Welcome to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we are back again. I know, sighs of relief from all of you. You couldn't wait those 7 days for another show, but we are back. And today we are going to be talking with somebody who we have talked to before about her coffee self-talk, but something new this time around.
Right. So Kristen Helmstetter is going to be joining us today. She's been on the show a number of times. She's written a few books, all having to do with the power of our self-talk. And one of her most popular ones, I believe it came a bestseller, was Coffee Self-Talk. And the premise of that, 5 minutes a day, habit stack, you're having coffee anyway, and what happened and how she changed her life by being deliberate about what she would say to herself during those 5 minutes a day. And she would write it out and it completely changed her life. So she's come out with a new book to make it even easier for us. This is pretty much geared towards women. It's called Lipstick Self-Talk, a radical little self-love book. And this is really about building a better relationship with yourself and doing it in little tidbits and doing it in the time that it takes to put on your chapstick or lipstick. So she's awesome. She's a friend of the show, and looking forward to talking with her in a little bit.
All right. That sounds good. And I don't know, audience, you probably don't know this, or you probably do if you listen on a regular basis, but every week, Jonna signs in with a different alias in our Zoom calls here. And this week, apparently her alias is nothing more than a grimace face emoji.
Yep.
And actually, that sounded like a grimace face emoji response.
Sure did.
Yes.
And it's apropos nothing except for
apropos. Oh, I didn't hear the R in there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Apropos. That's French. That's French. That is my normal face. That's just my normal standing resting face is the grimace face. They probably invented the grimace face emoji after my normal face, because that's what I'm doing all the time, clenching my teeth to the point where I need dental work on the regular. Clenching, grinding, clenching, not clenching. Yeah.
Has somebody told you that you have grimace face, or you're just that self-aware?
I'm just that self-aware. Plus, my dentist hasn't told me that I have grimace face. He's told me that I have teeth problems that can only be caused by constant grimace face.
Gotcha.
Is there a name for this condition?
It's called grimace faciitis.
And have you stayed away from your mom so she doesn't look at you and say, you know, Jonna, it's going to stay that way?
Do you remember that? That was so funny. Yes. As kids. Why did they do that to us? That was such a lie. Or was it?
I have the ability to cross one eye.
No.
Yes. Next time I see you, remind me and I'll do it.
All these years, I have known you for like a dozen years and did not know that was one of your many talents.
It's not attractive.
Wow.
But yeah, my mother used to say, it's gonna stay like that. You better knock it off.
Exactly. My brother has the ability. I don't know if he still has it, but he did when he was a kid. He had the ability to take his eyelids and turn them inside out.
Childhood friend could do that.
On top of it, yes. And it was the freakiest, creepiest looking thing ever. And that was obviously, you know, the very mom response. You know, Nick, it's gonna freeze like that and stay that way.
You know what else? All these things, crossing one eye, curling your eyelids under, having constant resting grimace faciitis, are all things that are not cool, which is
I feel like this is a setup for something, Frankenberry.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting in my comfy position.
It's a pre-segu because I brought with me today a little article that I wanted to talk to you about. to kind of test us. You know, we're a group. The band has been together for a long time. We like to consider ourselves, at least I think so, a cool bunch of peeps. And I came across an article that describes 19 traits of a cool person that cannot be faked. And
you warned us about this last week, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
And we ran out of time or whatever, but I wanted to see how many of these 19 traits.
Carol, do you know why you and I both do not remember Jonna bringing this up last week until just now?
Why?
Because we blocked it out of our memories.
Frankenberry, yes. I'm not even sure if you and I, with our scores combined, are going to equal one whole cool person.
Yes, 19 reasons. Oh, I can't wait to hear them all.
We're gonna run through them. And I bet you I could, you know, if I were taking this alone and someone said, describe Curly Pesky and Frankenberry on this list of 19, I would be able to accurately tell you which traits you have and which traits you don't. For example,
I would agree. You know us pretty well.
Number one, I will tell you right now that of the three of us, one of us has this trait and two of us do not. Okay? So the first trait on the 19 traits of cool people that cannot be faked is cool people don't get jealous. And I will tell you right now that Carol, you are the only one of the three that has this trait. And Frankenberry and I don't have it. We get jelly, don't we, Frankenberry?
There may have been a time where I did, but I haven't in a very long time because I don't care enough to get jealous. And I'm single.
Oh, you get jelly. I get jelly. Curly's the only one who doesn't.
Jonna?
Yeah.
Is there anything for me to be jealous of right now?
Other people's cats.
Cats.
You're really stretching it there, girlfriend. All right, I'll give you whatever you got. Keep the list moving.
All right. So the second trait of cool people that cannot be fake is they're independent. I think we all have that.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
They're
I agree.
To do things their own way, and we don't follow a crowd. Okay. We all have that. All three. Number three, cool people are happy in their own company. I think check, check, check on that.
Yep.
Don't you think? All three of us.
Without
right,
a doubt.
Frankenberry?
Oh, yes. That's obviously the case for me.
Number four seems redundant, so we'll skip that. It just says they're comfortable with who they are. Isn't that pretty much the same as happy in your own company?
Yeah.
Give ourselves that. Number five, they are confident in their abilities. I think check, check, check again.
Okay.
Wow. Frankenberry, we're doing good.
I know. I'm waiting for the bottom to fall out of this bad boy.
No, maybe they get harder as they go. Number six of the 19 traits of cool people, they stick to their principles. Cool people have strong beliefs and they live their lives accordingly. They don't just talk the talk. What do you think?
I think I'm cooler than I was expecting.
I agree. Frankenberry, you think you're cooler than you were expecting?
According to this list, yeah, so far.
Yeah, I think so. Me too. Okay, here's one that we don't all three have. The seventh trait of really cool people that can't be faked. They're open-minded. Now, I got it. Curly has it. FB?
And so, because I probably don't want to go there, what is it, Jonna, that would have you think that I am not open-minded and thus close-minded?
Oh, would you... Would you like me to explain? Okay. Here's why.
I shouldn't have done this, Carol. Okay.
Yes, you opened that door, Frankenberry.
I know.
You're going to have to slam it.
Whenever we have a guest that talks about woo-woo stuff, what do? You go off in the corner and you start eating a peanut butter bagel. You don't participate. You don't want to know. You don't care about horoscopal stuff. You don't like...
Horoscopal.
My God, these new words that Jonna comes up with every week. We need our own happy hour dictionary.
Dictionary. And I would say that I think Frankenberry's become more open-minded over the past, what are we going on, almost 12 years of this show.
Really?
And
yes.
Hey, listen, now also keep in mind, you and Carol with these guests, you have read these books of these guests. I have not.
Because you're not open-minded.
It has nothing to do with me not being open-minded.
Jonna, you're being very close-minded about Frank and Barry's open-mindedness.
It's just, you know it. You know it's not my interest. And yes, I do go up to the corner with a peanut butter and banana bagel and possibly go to MLB.com. But you two handle the guests very well. You know what they're, you know where they're coming from, and you appreciate that. And that's what our guests need. They don't need me.
Well, and you always close out the interview with some kind of fun comment. So
I try.
Yeah, I do. All right, pay attention. Moving along.
Yeah. When the roof of his mouth isn't stuck to his tongue by all the Skippy. Okay. Moving on. The eighth trait of cool people that cannot be faked. And I will go ahead and say we all have this one once again. They're good at expressing themselves. Check mm-hmm. Check, yep. check, triple check. Right, Frankenberry?
Yepper.
Frankenberry's Attic? Yes. Yep. Shameless plug for Frankenberry's Attic. You can catch it on Facebook or go to frankenberriesattic.com. Okay. Nine. They're adaptable and pragmatic. They know how to roll with the punches and take life as it comes. What do you guys think? How many of us have that one?
I'm going to give myself a 7 out of 10 with that.
7 out of 10. So
I'm going to say most of the time, but then I'll get like stuck on something stupid and get annoyed at something little. Which is interesting about me. I can come at life like that with the bigger things. I'm pretty quick to put things in perspective and adapt. But if I can't get the pickle jar open, somebody's in trouble.
Oh, that's right. I remember the pickle jar saga. I remember that. For me, it's life is great. I can roll with the punches too. Big things happen all the time. But if I chip my nail polish like midweek when I don't have time to fix it immediately, all hell's going to break loose. Hell.
And out comes the grimace face.
Right. Frankenberry, what about you rolling with the punches?
I'd probably be in the same boat as Miss Pesky there, you know, kind of give myself a 7 out of 10. There are some moments of frustration where I don't deal with them very well, but for the most part, I think I'm pretty good.
All right. So we'll go triple check on that one. So far, we are triple check on all of them, but two. Okay. Number 10. This one, I'm going to have I got to skip number 10. Let's move on to number 11.
Sure. Oh, because she's not cool. That's why.
Well, I'll tell you what number 10 is, but we're not going to discuss it. All right. Number 10, the 10th trait of cool people that can't be faked is they don't hold grudges. Moving on.
Okay.
Yeah, let's move on from that one there, Spielberg.
Number 11. I like this one. Cool people are good at making other people feel at ease. They're great at meeting new people and making them feel welcome.
Oh, I'm giving myself a 10 out of a 10 on that.
I'm giving you a 10 out of 10 too. I'm giving myself a 10 out of 10 and I'm giving Frankenberry a 0. Okay.
So why is it pick on Frankenberry Day there, Spillboard, considering I am very good at making other people feel at ease?
Frankenberry, okay. I remember the first time I ever met you. Before we did the show, there was some event up in Rhinebeck. I think I was up there with my wine and you came walking up to the table and you made some kind of joke and made me laugh. I don't remember what the event was, but I'm giving you a 10 out of 10 from my experience.
All right. Then I'm going to up it to 5. And here's why.
Why? Because I no longer really go out in public, so I can't test it out.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah. So you're, you know, if you did go out and socialize more, you'd have a higher score with me because you are very friendly and very affable and funny and likable. You have all those fantastic qualities, except that you don't share them with anybody except for your, you know, cats.
Okay. And the issue there is?
Nothing, except that apparently nothing. So far, you're the least coolest of the three. Okay. Number 12, we're going to also skip. And that is the 12th quality of cool people that can't be faked is they don't judge others. We're going to skip because okay. I know what I'm going to score on that.
That's right, because you have not been judging me at all throughout this.
This is the reason, Frankenberry, she's the coolest of the threes because she's going to skip the ones where she's not cool. But
exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'm glad you agree. 13. They mind,
there, Carol.
They mind their own business.
All right. On to number 14.
Okay. Otherwise, my text thread over the years could be introduced as evidence.
Okay. We all clunked that one, but at least we're still even. Okay. Number 14. Please explain to me what this phrase means, because I like the phrase, but I actually don't even think I know what it means. The 14th trait is cool people don't suffer fools.
I don't know what that means.
No, it just means you don't suffer them. You don't give fools the time of day.
Okay.
We don't pay attention to fools.
Right. You just say, that's it. You're a fool. I will not suffer myself to be in your company.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Oh, so, okay. Ain't nobody got time for that. Because that's what it says under here. It says you don't have time for people who are cruel, thoughtless, or self-serving.
Yep.
Okay. We all got that. 3 out of 3. 15. They're interested in the world. I would say, even though, Frankenberry, I tease you about being a recluse, I do think you have a worldly interest. And you do. Wouldn't you say?
If I can find it online, sure.
Yeah, right.
I have interest in the world, but a specific world.
Oh, bubble world. That is, yep. You know what? That's right. You know what? We're X-ing you out of this one. 2 out of 3. You got X'd out. Number 16. Now, because number 15 was they're interested in the world, 16 is dumb. 16 says cool people have interests, which is kind of similar. It says someone who's genuinely cool tends to have a passion or multiple passions, whether it's creative, sporty, or something really niche. It makes them stand out from the crowd.
And okay, well, that's different than number 15. Number 15,
yeah, because that's like writing. Like Frankenberry has an interest in writing,
and as do you, writing and publishing.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Little Pink Press, little shameless plug. Littlepinkpress.com. Okay. All right. So we got all three of us have that. 17 is reserved for me and Curly. 17 is they're optimistic. As opposed to glass half empty. We all know we're 20 mongers. 18. They have their own style. That's me making a sizzling sound as I touch myself. Yes. Oh, not like that. You know, like.
Yes. Yeah. We're okay, with you. Okay. We got you.
And the last one. Are you ready? The 19th quality of cool people that can't be faked. They live in the moment. They know it's not worth worrying about the past or the future because all we actually have is right now and we know how to enjoy it. What say you?
I think I'm a 7 out of 10 on that too.
Yeah, I'll go with Carol on that one.
No, I think you guys are 8 out of 10 on that.
Okay, fine.
And I'm probably a 6 out of 10 on that. Okay, so if I
are you making a grimace face as you said it? It sounded like you were. Sounded like a sideways grimace face.
That's my permanent face. See, that's my permanent face. All in all, out of these 19 traits that cool people can't fake, I say we are pretty much like almost 100% cool.
Well, and now I have something that I can add to my daily self-talk, and that is that I am cool.
Totally cool. You're like semi-totally cool.
Boom.
Boom. That's good. That's, me too. I'm semi-totally cool.
No, okay. dropped it. You're not picking it up.
No, I picked it up there, Carol.
I know you got it, Frank.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait. Let me, I know that was your Sagu, but hold on a minute. I'm going to up the Sagu. You know who else is totally cool? You know who else is semi-totally cool?
Okay. Semi-totally cool. Who's that?
Our guest. Boom.
Oh, I thought mine was better, but fine.
Yeah. Well, all right. If it makes you feel any better and it gets you rid of that grimace face, sure, that was fantastic.
Fine.
All right, just touch up your lipstick, Jonna, while we're on break here, because coming up after the break, we have Kristen Helmstetter. Wow. She's written a number of books about self-talk, best-selling book, Coffee Self-Talk was one of them. And she's just come out with Lipstick Self-Talk, a radical little self-love book. And she's a lot of fun and looking forward to chatting with her again.
Okay, that sounds good. That is who we have on the way, Kristen Helmstetter and her latest self-talk book. And this is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And we will be right back with our guest.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we have a returning guest today, Kristen Helmstetter. And Carol, why don't you remind our audience of who it is we're going to be talking to today?
Okay, so first of all, she's not exactly a guest. I'm going to call her a friend at this point because she's joined us enough times and she's our kind of people. She's awesome. Kristen Helmstetter has written more than 10 books on self-talk. She also writes romance novels under the pen name of Abrisa Star. Her popular podcast, Coffee Self-Talk with Kristen Helmstetter, shares her formula for living an intentional life with a happy, magical mindset. She splits her time between Florida and more recently, Northern Michigan and a medieval hilltop town in Umbria, Italy with her husband and daughter. And she is here today to talk to us about her latest book in her self-talk series called Lipstick Self-Talk, a radical little self-love book. Kristen, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you, my friends. I love that.
Yes. And Carol, before we get into it, just a real quick question for you. What is the distinction, by the way, between a guest and a friend?
Well, a guest is, I guess, more formal that we don't know them as well.
Okay.
So she's both.
So she's a friendly guest as opposed to the regular guest, which is, you know, yes, you can stay in the extra room.
The rude kind.
Yes, but we don't like you and then leave in the morning. Okay.
Well, we can call her a gend. Get it?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I wish I didn't get that one. Sorry.
That's almost as bad as when you had a bad dye job on your hair and you called it blorange.
Blorange, yeah.
Blonde orange.
Wow. I've had hair like that. I know how that is.
Oh my gosh. Well, sometimes blonde becomes blorange as it oxidizes. Anyway, you know Frank and Barry what we're talking about, right? You've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Kristen, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on your latest book. I want to get into how this one's a little bit different than your others. But first, for those who might be tuning in and hearing you for the first time, tell us a little bit about your backstory and what caused you to begin writing these self-talk books.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So it's been about 5 years, almost 6 years. We were living in Arizona, my family. I have this amazing husband and this beautiful daughter, and my life on paper looked really great. But I just found that every day I was waking up, I just felt like there was kind of a cloud hanging over me. I felt like I had to struggle to find happiness, and I felt like life kind of whipped me around by my ponytail. I would just get anxiety easily and stressed out easily. And so when that happened, I said to my husband one day, I was like, you know, let's just sell it all and like go travel the world. Cause I was looking for an answer to fix my problem. And the short story of that is we did it. We sold it all. We traveled the world. We were in Italy. And again, in Italy, I'm in these beautiful ancient cafes and I'm living la dolce vita on paper. Like everything seemed so great, but I still had this like simmering anxiety in my skin. I felt like there was more to life. And so, you know, I was no stranger to self-help books, and I knew that I had to change what was going on inside my head. I had to change my behaviors if I was going to change my life, because moving to Italy didn't do it. It was a beautiful place to be, but I was still me. You know, I hadn't really changed me. So I really got into self-talk, and I started writing positive self-talk affirmations first thing in the morning with my coffee. And that's how the book Coffee Self-Talk came to be. One day I was sitting in my tiny Italian kitchen and I was feeling just kind of heavy and weighted. And I thought, you know what? What am I doing? I'm jumping into email. I'm diving into social media. And I'm like experiencing comparisonitis and nothing that was uplifting. It was like I was starting my day out on defense. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I got to change my behavior. So I put my phone in airplane mode and I start just typing up in the notes application positive affirmations like I am worthy. I am beautiful. I am rich and healthy and amazing. Now, I didn't really feel like any of those things. And that's kind of one of the big things. It's like, it felt
rich,
like I was
I'm
telling,
healthy. I'm beautiful. Right, I'm a liar.
Right. No, right, right. And I was in debt at the time. And, right. So, but I knew the power of repetition and I knew the power of self-talk. I just had never had a strategy with it. And my strategy became that I would do this every morning with my cup of coffee, like 5 minutes. And oh my gosh, my life transformed. I completely turned my life around because I changed my self-talk. I started talking nicely to myself. I started loving myself. And when you do that, everything changes.
100%. And so what? You're not alone. Obviously, I think a lot of people deal with this. Why do you think it is that we have developed this negative self-talk or self-talk that doesn't support us, or why the concept of loving ourselves seems so foreign?
I think it's different for different people. I come from a history where I had a really rocky life and childhood, and I've been divorced, and like I had a lot of things. I had a lot of issues. And I think for some people, that's it. You just never grew up knowing the power of self-love. And then there's people who feel guilty. They're like, oh, I can't love myself. I've got to put everybody else ahead of me. Or, you know, so it's a combination of either the wiring in your brain from what you have experienced all your life to this kind of fear to really love yourself. Because when you do, you become really authentic. Like you show up to your life differently when you have self-love and you use your self-talk to create this confident person, this person with a high self-esteem. And you almost feel like a stranger to yourself at first. But I think we live in a world where, you know, there's clickbait headlines, there's negativity all around. And unless you intentionally turn that stuff off, including things like social media often. Like I am not a huge fan of it. Like I totally see some value and I can get inspired when I'm on Instagram, but I have to be careful because it can be a slippery slope for me. So I think it's what you surround yourself with. I think it's your childhood, it's your upbringing, and it's your self-esteem.
So it's really interesting, Kristen. Sorry, this is Jonah. I like the message that just changing your environment when you're feeling, you know, things bubbling up and you're not really content or thrilled or overjoyed or happy or what have you is not going to cut it. Like you got to work on you first. And then if you want to sell everything and move to Italy, it might, you know, a better idea if you work on you first.
Yeah. And the great thing about that is it's easy. I mean, it's simple. It's not always easy, but it's the low hanging fruit because you don't have to spend money going to a gym. You don't have to do anything fancy. You just have to start saying nice things to yourself.
Kristen, can you expand on a little bit on the science for this? You mentioned the word rewiring, and that is not an exaggeration.
Right.
Talk about our neural pathways if you can for a moment.
Sure. Please. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can think of it as like roads in your brain, right? Pathways in your brain. And they are grooved. They are created based on your behaviors and your thoughts. And they get deeper or stronger the more you repeat something and the more you believe something. And what typically happens is the more you repeat something, the stronger that belief happens. So you might not start out believing something, but you just repeat it, whether it's what you're repeating that you hear externally, the news, those kinds of things, or it's repeating your self-talk, whether it's positive or negative. And as you repeat it, you start to believe it. And those like grooves, those connections in your brain, they get deeper and deeper. And so it can be hard to dismantle and change that. But once you do, once you start changing, it will change the wiring in your brain and it will become your new default. So for example, when something happens, and this is just such a silly example, but like if I dropped a jar of pickles on the floor 5 years ago, I would berate myself. I would cuss. I would be like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot, you know? And now if I drop the jar of pickles on the floor, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll clean that up. And then I don't think twice about it. And that's because I've changed the way I react to things because I've changed my brain.
What's so powerful about this is it really begins, as it did with you, with a simple decision. I am going to change how I think about myself and my life. It's that decision. Then you come along and give us a very brilliant and easy to follow process to do that, to then start rewiring your thought patterns into something that serves you. And you do it with intentions, deciding, how do I want to feel about myself? How do I want to feel about my life? And what are the conversations I need to begin to start having to build that within my brain first, and then watch the magic as it happens around you, right?
Right. And here's why this is so easy to do. It's because it's not like I'm telling you, oh, you need to meditate 20 minutes a day. Because like, and that's amazing, right? If you meditate 20 minutes a day, but we don't always have 20 minutes a day to meditate. So what I've done with Coffee Self-Talk and with this newer book, Lipstick Self-Talk, is I've found a time in your day when you're doing something anyway, and I'm habit stacking. I'm stacking the self-talk onto it. So I was going to drink my coffee anyway and scroll Instagram. Well, let me take out the Instagram and let me do my self-talk instead, or, you know, jumping in the email or whatever it is. But by stacking it with something you're already doing, you know what it does? It gets you to show up every day to do it. And when you show up every day, it makes it easier to believe. And then, you know, for some people, it's a week. Some people, it's a day, and they just feel so different that it becomes addictive. And some people, it's a few weeks. It's like they notice kind of a transition over time, but they notice themselves being nicer to themselves, like less critical. And I could cry when I think about it, because it's such an incredible feeling when that happens.
Kristen, is it possible, or I think I know the answer to this, the nicer you are to yourself, does it follow that the nicer you will be to everybody around you?
Oh my gosh, it is so true. In Lipstick Self-Talk, I talk about that, how when I stopped judging myself so harshly, I stopped judging other people. And that just made life so much easier. I mean, that's what it does. It makes your life easier. It makes it happier. It makes you feel more whole and healthy and fulfilled. So absolutely. And it's a beautiful part of this. And it was kind of an unexpected thing to me. I mean, I started building up my self-love, and I stopped judging myself so harshly. And then I found myself being so much more easygoing and relaxed around other people. I hadn't expected that benefit, but you're spot on.
Jonna, brilliant question.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes. Nicely done, Spielberg.
I don't, wait, could you? I'm having a bad connection. You're all going to need to repeat yourself.
Oh my gosh. Kristen, early on in your book, Lipstick Self-Talk, you mention how being vulnerable is actually an act of self-love. Can you expand on that?
Oh gosh, yeah. Being vulnerable, being just your authentic self, and being willing to make mistakes and you know, being okay with being afraid to do something, it makes you such a stronger person, because you show up so natural. You don't put up any false fronts. And so when you are vulnerable, it's saying to yourself, I love myself. I accept myself the way I am. And that's what I'm going to present to the world. And it feels vulnerable at first. It feels vulnerable the first many times. But after a while, you get so used to it, and you get so comfortable in your own skin. You get so comfortable with the space that you take up, that it's a beautiful experience.
I don't think that there's anything more powerful, or that we as human beings share in common, is that desire to feel like we're in the right skin.
Hmm. Right. Exactly.
Right? And, yep. And that's what this helps you do. And you mentioned early on when you were sharing your story, and I want to kind of tie back into that for a minute, because you talked about how, and I went through this very, very same experience a number of years ago, wrote about it in my book, Hello Beautiful, where my resume looked fantastic. Me on paper, having written a book. I, at the time, had launched a wine brand. I'm married to a great guy, still am. Just good shape on paper. And this underlying, ugh, I don't feel right. And then what happens, and I think it's important to talk about this, because there's people listening right now whose life on paper may look great, but it's so confusing. And then you judge it even more when you don't feel great also. And you think, well, I don't have a right to not feel great. Well, no, that's the truth of how you feel. And that's the place to start.
Right. I used to hide behind, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I used to hide behind my success. I was, you know, I had a good job, and I did a good job at work. Like, you needed something done, I was your girl. I could get it done. And so I had a little bit of confidence from that. But it was like I was using it as kind of a shell to hide behind, because deep down, I didn't feel worthy. But I found other ways to try to make myself feel worthy. But it wasn't enough, because over time it caught up with me, and I realized that. And that's when I kind of had a dark night of my soul, and I was like, this isn't working. I have got to change, because I can't rely on you know, business success to fulfill me and to make me feel whole. I need to do that from the inside.
That's absolutely true.
It's so funny because what you describe and what I know other people have described too, it's like we have this chicken egg argument with ourselves constantly until we figure it out. And, you know, you're not like you said, you moved to Italy, but you were in a lot of debt. And we've had we have another friend of the show, again, or Fresh, however you want it to describe it. who actually her job is to help people stay on budget and form a budget and, you know, get their financial act together. And it turns out her financial act was so not together that she had to do a radical change. And it, I can understand people be like, all right, this is what I need to fix in myself. So I'm going to show other people how to do it. But eventually those two aspects of yourself are going to punch each other square in the throat until you go, wait a minute, this doesn't work together. I really need to fix A before I can talk about B. And I think that's a big revelation that a lot of us are afraid of, which is why we don't often do it easily.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, one of the things that happens, you had asked about like why lipstick self-talk versus coffee self-talk. And when I put coffee self-talk out, I had a lot of positive responses and it was exciting and people were taking charge of their lives and making changes. But every now and then I would get an email from someone who would say, this sounds so amazing. I don't have 5 minutes. And I'm like, whoa, you need self-love. Like I address self-love and coffee self-talk, but I knew there was a group of people who needed just an entire book about self-love, which is what lipstick self-talk is about. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tie your self-talk to when you put your lipstick on. It's a book I've dedicated to women. It's primarily written for women. And I'm like, I know most of you are putting on lipstick or lip balm every day. And that 20, 30, 40 seconds in the mirror, you're going to say some affirmations and you are going to empower yourself.
So that's the big difference with this book. Your coffee self-talk includes self-love, but it's other things about relationships or how you're showing up at work or you're accomplished. Lipstick yes. self-talk is exclusively about creating self-talk that reinforces your self-love.
Yes. And when you do that, it's like, I like to compare it to a people mover at the airport. You know how you can be walking along and you can choose people mover and it's going to help you coast, or you cannot choose the people mover and you got to lug that heavy suitcase. Well, when you're on the people mover, that's like what it feels like to have this core foundation of self-love. It helps you coast through life. It helps you attain your goals faster and smarter and better. And so it impacts everything in your life, relationships, money, health, fitness, everything, because of that core rock solid foundation of self-love you build.
I feel like this would be an amazing book for not only any woman, but teens.
Oh yeah. Well, I do have a chapter in it that it's for young women and up.
Okay.
Gotcha. But I have considered making a teen version because I did a teen version for coffee self-talk that kind of focused on school success and peer pressure and stuff like that. So I think that's an incredible idea. And I think I'll probably put something together for even younger girls.
Well, and then we'll just have to get you back here again.
I'd love that.
Absolutely. Oh. That would really be a fantastic idea because I have a lot of people who work for me who have teenage daughters and I don't have any, but they're like Martians, and it really is difficult, especially for single moms who are trying to raise teen daughters. And I remember being a teen daughter, and I spent about 10 years of my life grounded because it's difficult. It is difficult to raise them. That would be an amazing book. So I think it was just born right here on the air today.
Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant. Spot on, people.
Kristen, before we wrap up, you used a wonderful, and so here's one of the many things that I love about you, the message that you're giving to us, the avenue to rewire how we look at ourselves and feel about ourselves. But you're also very casual and warm and fun in your delivery. And I love that because there's so many brilliant books out there, fantastic authors that have amazing content. And it's like, just getting through, it's very dry. You're not like that. You're very fun. I feel like I'm talking to my girlfriend. So, and one of the things that you do often, and you've already done it in this interview today, is use fantastic analogies that help us understand things better. Can you talk about how our life is like chocolate cake?
Right. Okay. So yes. So when you make a chocolate cake, you want what? Chocolate cake ingredients, right? You know, your sugar and your butter and your eggs and your chocolate. you're not going to put in, I don't know, ground beef or Parmesan cheese, right? You want to put in the ingredients that are going to give you the outcome that you desire. And I like to think about our lives as that. So what do you want your life to be? You need to have the right ingredients. So you have to have the right self-talk to create the outcome you want. It's like a recipe. So every time you're thinking about whether it's a little project you're going to do or something huge and expansive, like a life change, you think about what the end result is. And then you know what it takes to bake it. You know what it takes to make it, right? You know the ingredients that you need to put in. And then you just got to show up every day and put those ingredients in.
I love that. And I really wouldn't mind if my life were a chocolate cake. Oh, that's a great analogy. Kristen, we're wrapping up here with Kristen Helmstetter. She is the author of 10 books. Her latest is 10 books on self-talk.
Yeah, maybe even more now. I don't know. I may have to update that.
What a wonderful challenge to have. I've lost count of how many books I've written. And best-selling status, I might add.
Thank you.
And her most recent book, Lipstick Self-Talk. What is the subhead to it? A radical little self-love book. Where can people get your books? Where can people follow you? I love following you on Instagram. You're on there every day posting positive things to think about. So how can people follow you and get your books?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I love hearing from readers. So I always offer up my email, kristen@kristenhelmstetter.com. And I have my podcast, which is a great little 5 to 10 minute podcast where I talk about extra little ways to add magic and, you know, like a magical living feeling to your life. And that's Coffee Self-Talk with Kristen Helmstetter. And the books are on Amazon and you can pretty much go into any bookstore. And if it's not on the shelf, you can ask them to order it and they'll get it for you.
Very good. And then I'm sorry if I missed it. What are you on Instagram as?
Coffee Self-Talk.
Coffee Self-Talk. Got it. Okay. Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We love having you here on the show and congratulations on your latest book, which I've started. I can't wait to finish and use.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I love being here with you guys.
Yes, Kristen, thank you very much. And I'm sure Jonna much appreciates being spot on for once. So, Jonna?
Yeah.
Are you patting yourself on the back for that one, by the way?
I've been patting myself on the back this entire time.
I know, I could hear it. All right, well, listen, Kristen, thank you very much for joining us again. We do appreciate that, and we are not done with Happy Hour just yet this morning. We've still got segment 3 on the way, so please stick around, and we will be back with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and some more.
Live better and laugh harder. It's Sunday morning and Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
And we're back, and welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, cool Frankenberry.
Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you very much. I put an envelope with cash in your mailbox.
I did mine with my grimace face on. Could you tell?
I did. I could hear that, yes, talking through your teeth.
Just making sure.
My gosh. Well, that was fun talking to Kristen again.
Yes.
It's really, it's a powerful concept. We say more things inside of our head than we do to the outside world. And it matters so much how we program our own brains. And we're the ones that get to do that. And I love that she's come out with something that's even quicker, faster from the time that you put on your lipstick or your chapstick, and you can be deliberate about choosing something to say to yourself. And the fact that this book was really focused all about self-love. Good stuff. A great gift item too for somebody. I think even teens would really do well with this book.
You know what makes me mad, though? It makes me...
What makes you mad?
It makes me mad. It's, you know, she and we've had a number of other guests in the past that have had these fantastic ideas that are so simple that it always makes me say to myself, why didn't we think of this sooner?
Yes.
You know, like, why were we sitting here? Why do I have a permanent grimace face when all I had, this is so easy. What she discusses in her book is so easy to do.
Yep.
And big results. And it, so that's the part that makes me mad, but only for a minute, because it really is helpful. Anything that can enhance our lives that is easy is something that we will actually do, right? It's not like trying to solve some weird formula. You just do it. And it's
right. And she's so smart to suggest you habit stack it. That means what's something you do every day anyway, and right. you do it at the same time. Like, what percentage of us drink a cup of coffee, at least one cup of coffee in the morning, right? So habit stack being writing out or saying positive affirmations. Here she's talking about, you know, putting on lipstick or chapstick, something that quick, whether to, you know, you could do mascara, self-talk, whatever it is. It becomes a trigger. It's something you don't have to remember to do it every day because there's something you're going to do, like brush your teeth, whatever. That is, so you tie it in with something you're going to do every day anyway. And I mean, she shared her story, how radically different her life is and how much better she feels now after making this a regular practice.
Yes, I love it. And, you know, and she took some chances. She took some chances in her life, which is also exciting and scary, but you can do that too. I've made it a point. This is conscious. I have made it a point. Usually every morning I would wake up and the first thing I would think about is something that I didn't, like I would think about work, for example. It wasn't a pleasurable thought. It's like, okay, what do I have to do today? When do I have to do it? Oh my God, this is making me nervous, whatever. And then one day I woke up not that long ago and I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to spend the first 5 minutes of my day just looking outside. I'm going to spend the first 5 minutes of my day not thinking like any thought. And just give myself those 5 minutes. And I don't know if it's working. I mean, because I still have a semi-permanent grimace face. But but it's a lot more fun than waking up and thinking about my entire to-do list before my feet hit the floor.
I agree.
That is definitely a nice change. And I'm sure that does improve the grimace face in the mornings.
So, well, really.
You know, speaking of fun, I do want to give a shout out to April Matula. I've mentioned her name many times before. Yeah. She's one of my favorite people. I just helped her publish another children's book called The Sun Calms the World and It Will Calm You. She's a beautiful person. She does all of her own illustrations. They're short little full color books available on Amazon. And this particular book is a short little story about this little boy, and he's not feeling good inside, and he starts acting out towards others based on how he feels inside, and takes his father's advice and starts looking on the bright side and being nicer to people, and it really pays off for him. So congratulations, April. She's just a joy to work with, and this is another title under Little Pink Press. Proud to put it out.
Well, there you go. Very nicely done for Little Pink Press again, Miss Pesky.
Thank you. Yeah, the sun calms the world.
Yep, the sun calms the world, and it will calm you.
I like that. I would like that phrase.
All right. Well, listen, I think we're in pretty good shape here this morning. Thanks again to Kristen Helmstetter. And what was it? Lipstick?
Lipstick Self-Talk.
Lipstick Self-Talk, her latest in her self-talk series. And for Jonna Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and please join us again next week. I know it'll be a difficult 7 days for you, but we will eventually return, and we will talk to you then. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.